800-iShares or iShares.com. iShares. Keep evolving.
WCVE Public Radio. Andy Foldenauer joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for the Monday Morning Business News Analysis. He's sitting in today for Brian Ford. Hi, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, the market and economic news in January so far seems to build on the strong fourth quarter from last year. How did things fare this past week, which was a short week on Wall Street?
Yeah, it was a holiday week, and after a long streak of gains, most major global equity markets took a breather and traded modestly lower this week. The economic data in the U.S. was actually pretty good, with existing home sales and leading economic indicators rising more than expected. However, the equity markets largely ignored this data, as investors have been anticipating improved economic momentum for months. It is still early in the U.S. corporate earnings season, but so far the results are validating last year's rise in U.S. equities. With about 20% of the S&P 500 reporting earnings so far, fourth quarter earnings and revenue growth are outpacing overall third quarter results. It is interesting to note that favorable news doesn't always translate into higher prices. Despite blowout quarterly reports from technology giants IBM, Apple, and Google, these stocks in the technology sector traded lower for the week. Google did surprise the technology world by naming co-founder Larry Page to replace longtime CEO Eric Schmidt. This is the biggest management shakeup since the internet search giant was a startup company. It appears the company is making changes to manage the growth by further streamlining their decision-making process. Also, in another sign of the changing times, the fast food company Wendy's / Arby's Group plans to sell the Arby's sandwich chain. Arby's has lagged behind Wendy's performance recently, and fast food companies are seeking to reposition themselves in a market that is just beginning to emerge from the economic downturn.
And China President Hu Jintao had a much-publicized visit this past week to the U.S. to meet with President Obama. How much of an impact did that have on the global markets?
Sure, yeah. You know, China's impact on the global markets this week had really little to do with the president's high-profile visit to D.C. Instead, it had everything to do with inflation. Even though this week China reported a modest decline in its overall consumer inflation rate to about 4.5% in December, many strategists and traders weren't buying it. China's economy grew substantially for the fourth quarter at almost 10%, and therefore we anticipate inflation in China will resume its uptrend, which will potentially cause challenges for China's policymakers and the global economy. Concerns about China's inflation trends and economic momentum surfaced in late 2010 and are likely to be key issues for investors in 2011. This is important for U.S. investors to watch because, well, China is the new behemoth on the block. Its economic gyrations and policy decisions now impact commodity prices and corporate earnings of multinational companies. So its economy also has the ability to push and pull global equity prices, including North American stock indices. Food inflation has been one driver of China's overall inflation rate, with the official government data indicating an increase of just under 10%. The transparency on the data provided by the Chinese government is definitely lacking, and it's worth noting that the unofficial data compiled by non-governmental entities indicate all of China's inflation measures could actually be grossly understated. It is unclear if China's policymakers can catch the inflation tiger by the tail. So far, they have been slow to raise interest rates, but we anticipate they will do so several times this year.
Andy, the municipal bond market has experienced more volatility than usual lately. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, typically, Wayne, watching the tax-free bond market is equivalent to watching an old car rust. Over the past few months, it has been anything but that. The uneasiness started at the end of last year with banking analyst Meredith Whitney predicting as many as 100 municipal defaults this year, adding up to hundreds of billions of dollars in debt. Also, with federal stimulus aid running thin, there continues to be headlines about state and local budget pressures. That combination has struck a nerve with retail investors who have pulled record amounts from tax-free bond funds for 9 straight weeks through January 12th. Those withdrawals have recently forced fund managers to sell large positions into what can sometimes be an illiquid market, further driving down prices. Actually, just last week, we saw the average municipal yield move to the highest level since the depths of the financial crisis in December of 2008. It was good to see the tone in the municipal marketplace improve last week, as a number of analysts cited cases that the fear of widespread defaults are overblown. Also, yields on high-quality tax-free bonds are now actually higher than their taxable counterparts. This is somewhat unusual and attracted non-traditional crossover buyers who typically don't need tax-exempt income but wanted to take advantage of the bargains.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that fiscal distress has set off fears in the muni bond market, and some analysts see a buying opportunity for the brave, although the headline risk will leave the market unsettled for the foreseeable future.
Okay, we have just about 30 seconds, Andy. Of course, President Obama gives his State of the Union address tomorrow night, touching on economic issues, no doubt. What else should we be on the lookout for this week?
Yeah, there's an onslaught of earnings this week, as nearly a quarter of the S&P 500 and about half of the 30 Dow stocks report earnings this week, including McDonald's here this morning. Also, the Federal Reserve concludes a two-day meeting on Wednesday and is widely expected to hold its benchmark interest rate near rock bottom. And later in the week will be a number of macroeconomic reports, including consumer sentiment and the fourth quarter gross domestic product.
Okay. Thanks to Andy Foldenauer at RBC Wealth Management for sitting in today for Brian Ford.
Thanks, Wayne.
Okay. It's 8:40.